Welcome to today's Daily Dose with Ardelis Health. I'm Timmy Garth, Chief Growth Officer, and today we're fortunate enough to have Dr. Elizabeth Garner. For those who know her, we get to call her Beth. Today we're going to talk about some issues regarding women's health. And before we start, Beth, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you're currently doing, some experiences, and then we can jump right into it.
Happy to do that, Timmy. And thanks for having me on today. So super excited. I'm currently the CEO of a women's health startup company called Senna Therapeutics. We're focusing on endocrine diseases using a peptide called kisspeptin that most people don't know about, and we won't talk about it really today, but very exciting. Our first indications are PCOS, which for probably many of you listening here will know about that condition. Very, very prevalent, about 10 to 13% of women have this condition. And then our second indication, we're working on a condition called hypothalamic amenorrhea, which fewer people know about, but is also very important as it relates to women's fertility. Prior to that, I have worked in a number of companies, large, small. I've been in the industry now for 18 years, and I've just been very lucky to be in the women's health space throughout that time. Prior to that, I was practicing women's health. I'm a women's health physician by training, specifically an OBGYN and a GYN oncologist, and left that work, which I loved, 18 years ago, like I said, and it's been a great time. As well, I work with the American Medical Women's Association, a very important association in the U.S., and was lucky to be the president for a year, a couple of years ago, but I continue to work with them. It's a very important organization, as I said. I also do a lot of advocating for women's health, for reasons we'll talk about, I'm sure, in this discussion. And I'm a mom of three kids and a grandma.
Terrific. Well, we're very fortunate to have you. And all right, so let's jump right into it. You did mention that you practiced OBGYN for a number of years, and you've been in the industry for almost 20 years. What have you seen change since you originally started practicing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Timmy. And I don't like my answer because I don't. It's not a good one, which is, at least in the women's health space, I don't think things have changed all that much. And I even kind of joke sometimes that as an OBGYN, I could probably, even after 18 years of being gone, I could probably jump right back in. And that's because nothing has changed that much. And I'm talking about medicines. You know, we still treat some of the worst conditions that women have, that I'm sure we'll talk about as well. We're basically using the same drugs that are not drugs that are specifically designed or approved for those conditions. They are just drugs that we use because we don't have anything else. So that's on the therapeutic side. And then even on the device side, I mean, there have not been many, you know, there are some, but not really many changes there either, right? Because and really it's a lot of that is just there has just not been enough investment in women's health over the last decades. The good news is, and I think we'll talk about this, is that is changing for sure, right? I mean, the fact that we're talking about this today is part of that, right? There's a lot of advocacy going on. And, you know, what's exciting to me in my current role is I'm finding that even investors who, you know, generally speaking, have not really been looking in women's health, certainly not in therapeutics, are now getting really interested, right? And so that to me is a sign that not only is that advocacy just sort of helping sort of generally raise awareness, but it's getting to the folks that we really need, which is our investors, to put money into, improving the situation.
So to that point, Beth, what do you see as the major needs in women's health? And how are you and the folks you're surrounded with working towards addressing those needs?
Sure. Again, you know, it's not a great answer because there are so many needs, right? Like I said, we've had few advances in women's health. So, you know, let me just name some, I guess, right? Obviously, I'm mostly in the therapeutic side. And for me, I strongly believe that that is where, in some ways, the greatest needs are. It's difficult to sort of say what is the greatest, but for sure, therapeutics, we really, really need, right? So, as an example, preeclampsia, this is a killer of women, right? These are women who have high blood pressure during their pregnancies. And I can tell you, as I, as a physician, I saw, sadly, many women die from this condition. And unfortunately, because it is a pregnancy issue, we see that babies die as well from this, right? We have no therapy for that, nothing. There's nothing been approved by the FDA ever. And, actually talking about the FDA just briefly on that is, in all of the years that FDA has been around for obstetrics, right? So pregnancy related conditions, there have been a total of 9 drugs, 9 out of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, there have been 9 drugs for various issues in obstetrics. So you can see, there's just such a need. So preeclampsia, huge need, and we have no therapeutics for them. So we give them magnesium, if you can believe that, magnesium, to try to see if you can slow things down. We give them steroids to at least give the baby a better a chance if the patient has to be delivered. So that's a big one for me. We've got endometriosis and fibroids, which are being talked about a lot now, which is good, which means there's more research being done. But again, for neither one do we have any approved products for endometriosis. Let me be clear. We do. But none of the, even for endometriosis, none of the products that are available are actually sort of addressing what the underlying science is, right? These products really pretty much just shut down estrogen, which for patients is really, it works well, but it's really unfortunate because they, you've got 20-some, 30 year-old patients having no estrogen. And of course, what does that do? That throws them right into menopause, right? So having hot flushes and all those things, which are, some of them will say, I'd rather just deal with my pain. And, so a big challenge there. And we don't have specific therapeutic targeted treatments. And for fibroids, big issue, nothing. And basically what we do is cut it out, right? So that's a big solution in women's health, right? It's cutting things out. We cut out the endometriosis, we cut out the fibroids, so that's unfortunately the approach we take a lot. PCOS is another one, I think that I mentioned that, is a really tough condition that women have, very complex. These are women who have, sort of high levels of testosterone. And so they have, hirsutism and various other, what we call, hyperandrogenism. They are often, have issues with, insulin, right? So that leads to obesity and many other things that they deal with. And again, we have no therapeutics there either. There have been some attempts, and actually, a couple that looked promising, but unfortunately, those products ended up having some liver issues, so they didn't end up getting to the market. We're working on that at Senna, as I said, so hopefully in the next 6 to 8 years there'll be something. So we can go on and on and on. And then of course there's menopause, which thankfully is getting quite a bit of interest now.
You mentioned earlier on, while women's health is increasing, there are still a few companies in the therapeutics development space. Why do you think that is? What's the reason there's not more investment going on right now?
Yeah, I believe most of this is that we don't have the science, right? So if you look at oncology, I love to use that as kind of the opposite of what we're doing in women's health, which is several years ago, I want to say a couple of decades ago, on the oncology side, there was a specific decision, right, to bring together the entire oncology ecosystem, right? So I'm talking about NIH, FDA, investors, payers, patients, doctors, bringing everyone together and saying, okay, how are we going to do this, right? And that included, when I say doctors, I mean also scientists, people who are, right, who are in the labs trying to figure out what's going on. And if you look at sort of the what's happened and how much has been done in that space, where now even my father, who had lung cancer, was able to and he had metastatic lung cancer, was able to live another 5 years, and he basically was on a pill in all that time. That has been done because there's been so much science and so much understanding of, you know, what are the genes that are, you know, and what are the mutations that are happening that are causing that, right? We don't have pretty much any of that in women's health, right? If you look at preeclampsia, endometriosis, fibroids, PCOS, we don't actually understand why those things happen and what's kind of the underlying issue, right? And until you have that, you really can't design therapeutics that are going to target the underlying problem, right? So for all those conditions I just mentioned, we give people stuff to, you know, deal with their various symptoms, but we don't actually address the underlying problem. And so for me, that's the main reason, is we don't have the science. And without science, without being able, you know, for investors to come in and say, oh, well, okay, so I understand, you know, hey, PCOS is really important. Got it. Fully understand. Huge market. However, do you have targeted therapies, or are you just kind of throwing another Band-Aid, if you want to put it that way? They don't want to see that, right? They need to see hardcore science. And mind you, this is not an advertisement. I'm just stating by fact that the reason, honestly, that I joined the company that I'm with now is that there is a basis now of the science. It's understood, and we know what we're doing when it comes to the peptides that we're using and exactly where in the pathway are we trying to address it. And that's what they do in cancer, right? So that's why I'm there, because I think that we will be one of those few companies that are doing it that way. So it's going to take time. It's going to take time. There's more research, hopefully, more interest. And so, but boy, doing the research to understand these things takes a very long time. So that's where I get like a little bit sad, right? I mean, the science that we have at Senna is 2 decades of work to figure this stuff out, right? So it's a long time.
Your passion is clearly visible, and what you want to try and do to make sure that the healthcare of women are taken care of, we meet that needs. And to that point, as a former healthcare provider, what role do you see current healthcare providers playing in the fight to ensure that women's health remains a priority in our country?
For sure. I think we need the entire ecosystem, right? You know, not just the physicians, not just the patients. I mean, again, going back to what I was talking about around the FDA Oncology Center of Excellence is what they called it. I want that. I want the Center of Excellence for Women's Health, where everyone can come together to get this done. Physicians, look, you know, one of the things that I didn't mention when you asked me about sort of what's changed, sadly, again, delivery of care right now is much, much worse than it was when I was taking care of patients, for sure. You know, patients are suffering from this terribly, and it's likely to get worse. And unfortunately, physicians, too, are really, really struggling, right? There's a lot of burnout. There's suicide, if you can believe it, many a year, because it's just really, really hard right now. And so to expect, I think, for physicians to sort of be the ones that are out there advocating, I mean, honestly, they are just trying to just make it through the day, honestly. That said, we do have, you know, there is a women's health advocacy group now that's formalized by Liz Powell. The amazing Liz Powell, who started this, and Timmy, I think you are part of this as well. And look, it's exciting, and we do have physicians who are supporting, and I think it's very, very important, especially when we are down there in D.C. talking to Congress folks, right? They need to hear directly from the doctors, and so that's been, I think, very helpful. But we do need to, I think, have even more of that, but it's a challenging time for physicians.
I am part of that executive committee with you, and we are making momentum, but we need full support from various constituents to make that happen.
Yes.
So is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't discussed already or that I haven't asked that you think the audience should know?
Yes, definitely. So I think a really important part of the discussion has to be around the business case for investing in women's health, right? So sometimes when we as advocates especially are talking about this issue around, you know, the need for better treatments, for more advancements in women's health, for better science and better delivery of care, that sometimes the folks who are listening to us, i.e. maybe investors or folks from Congress and so on, sometimes I think it comes across as, you know, oh, these poor women and we just need to help them. And that's true. We do need to help women. But there's a huge, huge business case that comes along with this, right? So I think we need to make sure that when we're talking about the fact that, for instance, the work that McKinsey has done, the work that WAM has done, they have shown this is not even close to a niche market, right? This, there is potential for huge impact on the economy if we are able to improve the lives of women, right? Women do a lot. They don't just take care of kids. They are business people. They are investors. They're doing a lot of stuff. And the healthier they are, the better they are, right? The healthier they are, the better the companies do, and so on. So there is a huge business case, and I think it's very important whenever we're speaking about this to talk about that.
Well, thank you very much, Shanae. Like I said, we are very fortunate to have you participate in today's Daily Dose with Ardelis Health. You are welcome back anytime. We love having you. And with that, we'll say have a great day and thank you very much.